Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman. Oh, it is good to be back in town. Welcome to Studio B here at the Park Pacific, downtown St. Louis. Just got in from Jupiter, Florida yesterday, and the Cardinals have some news. We'll hear from John Mozeliak, their president of baseball operations, in the next segment as Adam Wainwright has been scratched from his start against the Nationals. We do have Cardinal baseball this afternoon. It's an 11:45 pregame and a 12:05 first pitch from West Palm Beach as the Cardinals play there, and then they hop on a plane and go to Montreal to play the Blue Jays back-to-back in exhibition games. And then the opening game is Thursday against the Mets in New York. And will Adam Wainwright be able to pitch or not? He has a hamstring injury, and we'll get more from John Mozeliak here momentarily. We also have some great news from a Missouri Valley Conference team. Loyola is in the Final Four. And Doug Elgin, the commissioner of the Valley, is going to be on the show today. I know he is thrilled. He's in the air right now, and literally and figuratively, he is flying back from Atlanta where he saw Loyola beat K-State 78-62 yesterday, and the commissioner of the Valley has a team in the Final Four again. They had Wichita State in there back in 2013, and now Loyola. The Ramblers, the fourth 11 seed to advance to the Final Four, the first since VCU in 2011. Ben Richardson, 6 of 7 from three, and he finished with 23 points. They will play Michigan. The Wolverines picked up a win and looked really good doing it. Michigan is in the Final Four, holding off a very good team yesterday, I thought. I watched that a little bit at the airport yesterday as Michigan was threatened every which way by Florida State, the team that beat Missouri in the first round. But Michigan finds a way to squeak out a win, 58-54 over Florida State. It'll be Michigan and Loyola in one half of the Final Four. In the second half will be determined today. At 1:20, Texas Tech plays Villanova. And at 4:05 this afternoon, a classic matchup of blue blood programs, Duke and Kansas. How about your St. Louis Blues? Are you kidding me? The Blues last night, taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets, and Vladimir Tarasenko is back.
Panarin along the wing, lost it on a poke from Tarasenko. Shen clears up to Tarasenko, skating it in. Petrangelo going to the net. Tarasenko in the middle, he scores! Tarasenko! Cut to the middle with Petrangelo driving the goal. 2-0 St. Louis.
Alexander Steen scored 3 minutes into the game, and then that second period goal by Tarasenko. Chris Kerber with the call on KMOX, and the Blues are in business. But the Blue Jackets cut the lead to 2-1 with a goal by Atkinson in the second period, and now it's all about Jake.
Yashkin digs to try to hold the puck in, and a nice play along the line. Petrangelo eventually pulls it out. Spins it over to the far side. Dunn recovers. He's back into his own zone. Gives it up to Vanek. Vanek on the backhand. Nearly lost it. Holy moly. Blues just got away with it as they served up a pizza to a hungry guy in the slot.
That they did. And then in the third.
So it's 4-on-4 hockey here. Blue Jackets bring it in. And Morenski circles it back. Now hands it off to Panarin. He's over to Jones. Shooting and a glove save. Allen got a piece of it. The post as well.
Still 2-1 Blues. Third period.
And a puck control by Columbus. They go off of Vanek with speed. Nowenberg drops it in. Generous shot, glove save, Jake. 30-second shot on goal for the Blue Jackets. 31st save of the game for Allen. 1:42 to go in the third.
And the final moments.
2 seconds to go. Shot to the goal. The game is over. You can bring out the Zamboni. The Blues have beaten the Blue Jackets 2-1. They have snapped the Columbus 10-game win streak. And the St. Louis Blues have earned a playoff spot for the moment.
Yes, they have. They right now have 89 points, and they are the second wildcard team in the Western Conference entering play today. Colorado has 90, the Blues with 89. They are tied with the Kings with 89 points, but they own the tiebreaker and a load of games today. The Blues are not playing, but we'll be watching Anaheim and Edmonton as those two teams battle with Anaheim and Edmonton right there, Anaheim in the mix in the NHL standings. The Blues have the second wildcard spot, and Chris Kerber will be our guest in just a little while at about 10:30 this morning. But when we come back, John Mozeliak joins us, gives us the latest on the Cardinals, on Adam Wainwright, and everything in between as they are on a bus going to West Palm and then flying out of Florida in a matter of hours. That's next on Sports on a Sunday Morning. I'm Tom Ackerman on KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports on a Sunday Morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman. Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports on a Sunday Morning. We are here in St. Louis. Let's go down to Jupiter, Florida, where the Cardinals are hopping on a bus and leaving the complex as they will go to West Palm Beach, take on the Nationals this afternoon on KMOX, and then head to Montreal, where they'll play exhibition games back-to-back against the Blue Jays. John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations, is with us on KMOX, and we always appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's hard to believe we're packing up and heading out here shortly.
Isn't that the truth? You know, Jack Buck, when I was a youngster at 22, starting here at KMOX, he always taught me that I was getting a little wordy with some of my questions. You know, don't try to pretend like you know everything. Ask a question like this: John, how's your club?
Well, you know, we're excited about how we finished up. Obviously, health is always a concern. You want to end on a positive note, but you know, I think about how this camp went and where we are. When you look at your club, you think about it in terms of, do you like your everyday lineup? And the answer is yes. Do you like your rotation? The answer is yes. Do you like the bullpen, how it's come into shape? The answer is yes. Do you wish we could have avoided a few injuries at the end of spring? The answer is yes. Do you feel like we addressed some of those narratives that haunted us last season? The answer is yes. So, you know, when you look at the overall theme of where we are, there's a lot to be excited about. And I think, you know, when you go down to that clubhouse right now, there's a sense of urgency, there's a sense of excitement, and there's a sense of let's go, let's get it going. And I think that's a real positive. And you know, it's not to say that a lot of those feelings don't exist in every camp, but, you know, I think this group understands we have purpose this year, and it's time to hit the go button.
I sense that completely being down there and being around the team. I want to touch on different positions and some of the decisions that were made. First, seeing that Adam Wainwright is scratched from his start today against the Nationals and Jordan Hicks will get a look. What can you tell us about that?
You know, we're still just trying to work through some things. As I said, we've had some nicks, some injuries here at the last part of this, and hopeful it's nothing serious, but still waiting for the complete eval.
Is it something that you can tell us, location on the body or anything like that?
Hamstring related, but hopefully it's not serious.
Gotcha. And then Luke Gregerson's hamstring put him on the disabled list to start the season. I know he's frustrated about that. Luckily, you have some arms in reserve to try to work out who can close games.
Well, it's not ideal. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but you know, that's why we tried to create a bullpen with depth so we could address these types of things. So hopefully that depth is strong enough to get us through the first couple weeks. I don't envision Luke's situation being one of those that drags too long, but with the 10-day DL, it's better to be prudent and smart than try to push.
What do you think about what you've seen just overall from this bullpen? Have you been encouraged by, you know, let's say someone like Josh Lucas, who came in and was keeping hitters from doing much, and that kind of made decisions maybe a little bit tougher?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of the depth we saw from our minor leagues is certainly something that was great to see from a camp standpoint. But, you know, specifically talking about how did we get the, you know, eighth or ninth inning as we enter the season on Thursday, I think you're going to see either Dominic Leon or someone like Tyler Lyons get that opportunity. So both guys threw the ball well this camp. Both guys have the ability to finish a game, and both guys will get that opportunity as we move forward.
Well, I like both of them. I mean, Tyler Lyons, with his ability to throw that curveball, and he just acts the part. He has really nothing seems to bother him. Plus, that knee being a little more healthy, is that something that was a positive for him?
Well, I think he came into this camp knowing he was going to be a part of the club. I think from a mental and physical standpoint, he came in with the right attitude, and from a health standpoint, he came in strong. And it, you know, I think when he looks back at the last 6 weeks, he's got a lot of positives to build off of. But I think anybody that's watched him pitch knows he's a talent. And so to put that injury a year behind you is always something that makes an athlete feel good.
And Dominic Leone, as you go up to play the Blue Jays, he's somebody that you acquired from the Grichuk trade. And that late movement on his fastball is pretty appealing. That ball comes out of his hand quick.
Sure does. Look, he dominated in the American League East, which is not easy to do. So that was extremely encouraging. And, you know, I think his camp has been everything we had hoped. So that was great. And when you look at this little matchup here in Montreal playing the Blue Jays, it's going to be a lot of familiar faces on both sides.
Yeah, that there are. Randall Grichuk is now a Blue Jay. Your outfield has been made over. You know, I think back to 2016, the All-Star game, starting in that outfield was Bryce Harper, Dexter Fowler, and Marcell Ozuna started in center field for Yoenis Cespedes. And then in 2017, Ozuna started in the outfield. He is a tremendous talent. And as Mike Matheny said yesterday, better than advertised.
Well, you know, I sort of touch a lot on the clubhouse presence or what he's meant to his teammates. And I think those are, you know, important things to talk about, just because whenever you have something positive happening in the clubhouse, that's just some place to start to build, you know, strong foundation. But, you know, candidly, you trade for someone because you expect on-field performance. And he has not let us down. I mean, obviously, he's an offensive player, offensive-minded player, but also won a Gold Glove. Just he has a chance to be an MVP-type player, and it's exciting to have that on your team. It's I think he's going to make other people better. I think he's going to make our lineup better. I think he's going to make hitters in front and behind stronger. And, you know, in the end, that's what we've been searching for a little bit. And to have that now on our club, it's he's a feared hitter, and I think it's just a welcome addition to this organization.
It seems like Dexter Fowler's really been welcoming to him as well. Fowler making a good transition into right field. Tommy Pham is your starting center fielder. He's struggling a bit. He's hitting 170 in Grapefruit League play, although on the backfields yesterday, he made some adjustments, didn't he?
He did, and you know, I certainly want to give him the benefit of the doubt going through some things, but you know, like the one place we have strength is the outfield. So if something's not working out, we always have options. But I certainly want to be patient with him. He's earned that right, and certainly excited for him to get this opportunity to go after it.
Your fourth outfielder, your backup infielder, he could do just about anything, it seems, is Jairo Munoz. What a player he is.
Well, I'd put him in that outfield group, and I'd also say Jose Martinez. And when you look at both those two in the same sentence, they both had very good camps, and all of us got very excited about Jose's bat last year, and he just kept swinging and kept hitting, and that was great. And then we made the trade with Piscotty and acquired two players. We were excited about both, but candidly, you just don't know what you're getting until you see it. And when you look at what Munoz has been able to do, he made our team. It wasn't something that we handed to him, because I think – all of us coming into camp did not see him breaking with our club, but you know, had a tremendous spring, and he earned it. He, from an offensive standpoint, gave us a lot of just great at bats, and then I think from a defensive standpoint, Matheny loves him because you can put him anywhere, and that's a real positive.
Seems like you could put Matt Carpenter in multiple positions too. You do have some flexibility there. Carp is still with that lingering shoulder injury, seems to have come out of it. I guess we'll keep an eye on his arm, but my gosh, does he look good at the plate. Holy smokes, he looks good.
Well, I definitely think that arm is something that we have to be cognizant of, but you know, Carp's favorite position is the batter's box, so you know, that's where he's going to want to focus, and you know, hopefully wherever we put him in the field, he gives us something that is still a positive because of his offensive capabilities.
And then finally, just to turn things back to the rotation and Adam Wainwright dealing with that hamstring, we'll see how that turns out. Your rotation has been a fivesome throughout. It really has looked good, although Jack Flaherty did give you a strong spring as well. I guess it's reassuring to know that you have some depth.
No, I mean, that's the whole idea of trying to get through camp is making sure that you have that insurance, because as I always try to tell people, especially once they're getting sent down, is it doesn't matter what we look like on April 1. What matters is what we look on October 1. And ultimately, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs in the season. There's going to be a lot of time where things happen and we have to adjust and adapt and obviously tap into that Memphis roster. And as you know, I've not been shy. I don't even shy away from the Springfield roster if necessary. So there's going to be lots of opportunities for players. But having Flaherty have the camp he had was exciting because, you know, you could argue he was one of the best five. And, you know, unfortunately, we can only take five with us.
And then finally, last thing is that your final roster spot's secured with Mike Myers, although with Wainwright and then with perhaps a couple of other things here and there, you still have to wait until we see exactly who you have on opening day in New York?
Well, that's right. Final will be Thursday morning. But, you know, lots of things can still happen. You know, if we had turned back the clock and had this conversation a week ago, it would have been, well, we look like this. And that's sort of my point of rosters, though. They're very fluid. And once an injury happens, you then have to go a different direction. And so being prepared to pivot, being prepared to make those changes is what's most important. And, you know, what your 25 is on Thursday might not be what it looks like on, April 15th.
We look forward to it as always, and we appreciate these visits very much. Have safe travels to West Palm, to Montreal, to New York, and we'll see you back here in St. Louis.
All right. Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you. There's the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, on Sports on a Sunday Morning. I'm Tom Ackerman. Back in a moment on KMOX.
Cardinals preseason exhibition play continues today as the Cards take on Washington. Pregame 11:45. First pitch with Mike Shannon and John Rooney 12:05. Hear it here on your home for the best Cardinals coverage. KMOX. Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday Morning. On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Brodziak comes the other way with it. Here's Berglund, who had a two-goal game last night against Vancouver. Patrick centers. Steen to the forehand. Shooting it. He scores! Alexander Steen underneath the arm of Bobrovsky. And it's 1-0 St. Louis, 3 minutes into period number one.
Wow, the Blues in those white road jerseys celebrating the first goal just 3 minutes into the game. And then Vladimir Tarasenko scored. That's what you need. Your stars scoring goals and making saves. Jake Allen in the defense taking care of business. The Blues beat Columbus 2-1. How big of a deal is that? Let's ask the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, who joins us now live on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Kerbs, they have the second wild card spot. They're playing great, and they beat a really good team on the road. My goodness, what has gotten into the St. Louis Blues?
Well, I mean, they've just started playing a very solid team game again, and one shift to the next is giving the team an opportunity. And then, you know, in the case of last night, there was two things. One, it was a timely goal by Alexander Steen to give you the lead. I just felt that after, you know, being the second game of back-to-back in the third and four nights, having to chase that game down would have been extremely difficult against the Blue Jackets. So getting a lead was paramount in that game. And then after they got the lead, Jake Allen was huge. I mean, Jake Allen had 14 saves in the first period. He gave the Blues a chance to get that 2-0 lead in the second when Tarasenko scored. Of course, the Blue Jackets came back pretty quickly and answered, but the Blues still had the lead. And that forced Columbus to open things up a little bit and take more chances, and that played into the Blues' hands. So I think a lot had to go their way last night, and it did. And as you mentioned, they're in the second wild card spot right now. And, you know, it's tentative because you've got three teams with 89 points, and it's basically by virtue of a tiebreaker that the Blues are in that. But they are back right there at that level, and that's huge.
Yeah, they have 39 victories in regulation and overtime, the Blues do. Anaheim has 34, so they hold the eighth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference for now, but there is still a lot to be determined. I just, when I see players like Berglund scoring and Steen scoring, and of course Tarasenko, but these are players that Blues fans have been hoping would, get fired up and get going. And here they are in the most important part of the season, making things happen. And for Steen, gosh, is there a better player person that you would want at this time of year when you just cannot do anything but just knuckle up and go?
Well, look, you know, people are going to look at Alexander Steen's contract and term, and they're going to be wanting more production out of it. And I think part of that might be fair, but he brings so much more in terms of leadership and smarts. And Mike, you always said several times this year, it's like having another coach out there. And I think you have to have that value. And I'm telling you, Tom, I've said this so many times, you cannot bring young players like a Tage Thompson, a Sammy Blay, a Vince Dunn, and guys like that into the National Hockey League without veteran presences like an Alexander Steen. If you try to do it without that kind of veteran presence around to help coach and teach these guys, you know, what it is to be a pro, you end up in scenarios like the Edmonton Oilers and these other teams, you know, the Arizona Coyotes, where they just stay bad for a long time despite having all the skill. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers are going to compete and you have a chance at a first overall pick this year with a lottery pick, you know, and they have Connor McDavid, who's got 100 points. So, you know, you need guys like that. And for him to, you know, here's a 33-year-old that is just 5 points shy of a 50-point season in the NHL. I think he's had a very strong season, especially considering he missed a couple weeks worth of games at the beginning and all of training camp, and then played the first part of the season with a cracked thumb. So he's been great. They've needed Patrick Berglund to get going here. Now, Patrick Berglund is just entering what would be the second half of his season, you know, and frankly, I don't think players come back from those kind of shoulder surgeries clean and ready to go anyway. So it's good to see him getting going, and sure enough, if you project out what he's doing, he'd be on pace for another 20-goal season.
It is just nasty out there. You know, I mean, these guys are so well-spoken. They're gentlemen when we talk to them. But out on the ice, it's just you've got to be tough. You have to fight through pain, and you have to be able to know the little tricks to making things happen, not only down this stretch, but once you get in the playoffs. And Steen is so experienced in that area. Let me ask you about Vladimir Tarasenko and the addition of having Tarasenko, one of the best snipers in the game, on your side, and just evaluate his play, if you would, what you've seen since he's come back.
You know, we talked to Mike Yeo yesterday about this a little bit. Tarasenko is a goal scorer. He is not a playmaker. Yes, he has the ability to pass the puck, but he's a goal scorer. And for him to be that, you know, you've got to have somebody to get him the puck. If you're looking for him to be the playmaker to get somebody else the puck, I don't know that works as well for him. Now, he's got the kind of ability that if he sees a better passing option than a shot, he's going to take it. He's got that kind of smart. So, you know, I don't think that you've seen any difference in Tarasenko's play this year versus other years. I do think eventually they've got to find, you know, I think a better playmaking centerman to really maximize Vladimir's abilities. That said, you know, with this hockey team, he's going to have to adapt a little bit. He's got to be harder on the back check. He's got to be harder on the puck. You know, you can't turn the puck over on the power play like he did trying to enter the zone with the support coming from behind you. Those are things where he's going to have to adjust his game to what this team needs right now. And I think he has the ability to do that, and we're seeing it. But as you saw by virtue of that goal in the game, first off, Alex Pietrangelo drives the net. He takes a defenseman with him, and then he created the screen in front of Bobrovsky that allowed Tarasenko to score that goal. But when you've got that guy that's got that one-shot ability to make a difference in a game, that's the difference in where the Blues were years ago, where they were losing these one-goal games and missing the playoffs versus finding ways to win one-goal games and get into the playoffs. And a guy like Vladimir Tarasenko can definitely be the difference maker there.
The Blues are the second wildcard team right now in the NHL's Western Conference. We're talking to the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Just a couple minutes left. Kerbs, the Blues are all kinds of banged up during this very important time. Let me see if I get this all right. Scotty Upshaw with the knee injury. Nikita Soshnikov has an upper body injury. You have Jay Bouwmeester out. Now you have Carl Gunnarsson. Man, that was tough to see. He's out for the season with a torn ACL. And Carter Hutton has a neck injury, and so they've put Husso behind Jake Allen, who's been remarkable. I guess with Gunnarsson, that means Jordan Schmaltz, right?
Yeah, it's next man up. It's Jordan Schmaltz, and, you know, you saw some real solid coaching last night. Jordan only played 3 minutes and 3 seconds in the first period. He only played 3 minutes in the second period, and despite it being 3 games and 4 nights in the second of back-to-back, Mike Yeo shortened the bench, and Jordan didn't play in the third period. You know, with the experience and what Columbus was bringing, he felt that the best chance to win was to go with the veteran guys that they had, and that's what they did. And I really do, I can't say enough for what I think, for the most part, has been a terrific coaching job from Mike Yeo this season, you know, when it comes to handling the personnel and the issues of injuries. But Jordan Schmaltz is the next man up, and it goes there. And look, these guys have been injured in the minor leagues too. Schmaltz has dealt with injuries. Wallman's dealt with injuries. But Terry Lindbom hasn't played because of injuries. So, you know, Lindbom might have had a heck of a chance this season to see some games had he been healthy, but he wasn't. So they've been dealing with injuries at the lower level as well. And, you know, it's just the next man up, and everybody fight for the guy next to you. And my goodness, it's worked. They've got a five-game winning streak.
The Blues are not practicing today. They're resting up. They will practice tomorrow. Then they play the Sharks at Scott Trade Center on Tuesday night. We will have that game on KMOX, and we always love having you. Thanks for being on Sports on a Sunday morning, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow morning on Total Information AM.
I will be there. Thanks, Tom. Have a great day.
Thank you. There's Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues, taking some time out on his Sunday morning to join us. The Blues with another win, 2-1 over Columbus last night. We're going to catch up on some soccer when we come back, and then we'll touch up on all of the Cardinals news as well. Again, the Cardinals, Adam Wainwright dealing with a hamstring injury. John Mozeliak told us on KMOX. They're looking for the complete evaluation of that to make sure that it's nothing serious. He didn't sound too concerned about it, but again, this is another hamstring injury, the second in a couple of days, as Luke Gregerson is going to start the season on the DL. So we'll see what is in store for the Cardinals. If Wainwright can't go, at least you know that you have some pretty good starters down in Memphis, most notably Jack Flaherty. I'm Tom Ackerman. It's Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Great to be along with you. A reminder that we are an hour away from Cardinal baseball. The Cardinals scratched Wainwright from his start today. It will be Jordan Hicks throwing and a number of others down at West Palm Beach against the Washington Nationals. Then they're leaving today. The Cardinals are going to Montreal to play the Blue Jays there tomorrow and Tuesday. Back in a moment on the home of the best Cardinals and Blues coverage, KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday morning. I'm Tom Ackerman. Let's get you updated on some Cardinals stuff. So the Cardinals play today against the Nationals at 11:45. We'll be on the air with Mike Shannon, John Rooney, and Rick Horton. They have the call from West Palm Beach, Florida. That's the ballpark of the Palm Beaches where the Nationals are located. They share that facility with the Astros. They'll be playing that game, and then they're going to go up to Montreal. They're going to play the Blue Jays back-to-back on Monday and Tuesday. Now, the Cardinals were supposed to have Adam Wainwright starting today, but Wainwright has been scratched. We reached John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations, and he informed us on the air that it is a hamstring injury for Mozeliak, for Wainwright. Yeah, Mozeliak's just fine. For Wainwright. So that hamstring injury, we'll see what the evaluation is. And if it turns out to be something serious and they'd have to put him on the disabled list, well, you know, you have a really nice rotation in Memphis. And Jack Flaherty was, as he said, Mozeliak said, one of their five best starters probably down in Jupiter this year. So we'll keep an eye on it. You hope the best for Waino, but a hamstring injury again with Luke Gregerson dealing with one and now with Wainwright. And Mozeliak did say that he is hopeful that it's not serious. They're waiting on the complete evaluation. Jeremy Allenbaugh is the general manager of St. Louis FC, the soccer club that plays at the soccer park in Fenton, and Worldwide Technology, I know, has been great to you, Jeremy, as have many sponsors and fans. I just love the fact that those fans pile in there, the St. Luligans, as they call themselves. They're active on social media. They're out there hooting and hollering during your games. I think this is a good time of year for you as you get things going. How are you, Jeremy?
Yeah, doing all right. Appreciate the opportunity to get down and visit a little bit. It's an exciting time for, you know, any sports team that's getting ready to start that season. You got the Cardinals this week, and obviously we get our home opener on Saturday, so it's an exciting time for sure.
You're returning to Toyota Stadium when you host Colorado Springs in the club's home opener. That'll be March 31st with a kickoff at 4 o'clock. What do you have in store for the fans for that game?
Yeah, well, hopefully 3 points and a win coming off a tough road. You know, we've been on the road for two weekends in a row, two tough tasks going down to Texas. We got a tie in the first game, and then we dropped one last night in San Antonio, 2-1. And so hopefully a win. But, you know, I think the fans that come out are going to see, you know, a different brand of soccer, a little bit more attacking oriented, a team that's willing to take some chances going forward, a little bit more athletic in transition than we've been. And
You know, hopefully we can shore up some things defensively because, you know, last night gave up a couple of soft goals that were just, you know, not like us. And hopefully we can get some of that. But, you know, every seat at the soccer park, as you know, is you're on top of the action. Great place to see a game and, you know, pretty intimate atmosphere where fans can really feel like they're part of something.
What I love about soccer is it's, and it can be nerve wracking, like in your loss to San Antonio, but you can fire shots that just miss by inches or a couple of feet sometimes that you think might be right there.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, the attacking side of the game and creating chances, it was a big focus for us during the offseason. And you're right, you can, you know, you can drop a game where you feel like you had, you know, you were the better side and maybe, you know, some stats show that maybe you didn't have the ball as much, but you created more chances and, you know, it's definitely, you know, an entertaining aspect of the game is, you know, close opportunities and, you know, hopefully a few more of those go in for us.
You've made a coaching change. Do you like your leadership right now?
We do. We do. We feel really good about Anthony. You know, he's a young coach. He's, you know, coming off of two very successful seasons at Orlando City B team and in the USL, so in the same league as us. And we got to watch him from afar and then compete against his team last year. And, you know, he's young. He's got great experience, great pedigree, obviously, as a player and then growing up in a household where his dad is a lifelong manager over, you know, in England, first division, second division, and has had a lot of success. So he understands the process. He understands how to build something, and he understands it's going to take time. And, you know, he's, you know, very detail oriented. We like the energy and, like I said, the details that he brings every day. We, you know, maybe there'd be a game or two where we, you know, drop some points and maybe, you know, a little bit of disappointment. But I can tell you this, everybody's going to walk on that field knowing their roles and their responsibilities. And if you can do that, then, you know, you're gonna give yourself a chance to compete in every game.
Yeah, but he said about yesterday's loss to San Antonio, when you give two poor goals away like we did, you always give yourself an uphill struggle on the road. He said the important thing now is that we learn from this and improve again next week at home. And that's exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah, he's, you know, he gets it. He's, you know, we had a chance to go up 2-0, and, you know, usually the opportunity that was created, Corey Herzog, who's scored goals in the league last 3 or 4 years, and, you know, that's usually a chance he's going to put away, and he didn't. And right before that, we had another opportunity on a good breakthrough with Austin Martz and Kyle Gregg, who combined for the first goal, but we didn't put those chances away. But he didn't dwell on that because, look, you're going to miss opportunities. But the two chances that they got, those are things that we can clean up. So just to talk to him after the match down in San Antonio, visit with him, and see his wheels spinning on, you know, what we need to do and catch up with some of the players. It was very much about what, you know, what we could have stopped them. And because we know we're going to finish those chances throughout the season, but we need to be a little bit tighter on the ones that we gave up. So he gets it, and it's fun to be a part of somebody who, you know, thinks things through and really analyzes, you know, where we are and where we need to be by the end of this week.
We're talking to the GM of St. Louis FC, Jeremy Allenbaugh, STLFC. I just love the logo. I love everything about it, the color scheme, the coolness factor of it, and the kids that are showing up to these games, too. Kids just love soccer, and they love to see professional players. I really believe that soccer, and as disappointed as we were that MLS did not come to fruition here in St. Louis, I think that's always going to be hanging out there because that sport is going to keep growing, don't you think?
Yeah, you just look at the league that we came into in 2015. So we, you know, purchased a franchise and in 2014 started making plans, and the league looks a lot different. I mean, you know, there's 33 teams in there. Next year we'll be close to 40. It continues to grow. I mean, you know, look yesterday in San Antonio, their home opener, you know, they had 7,900. You go over to Nashville, they had 18,000 in theirs. And, you know, teams are just really finding that niche. Like you said, whether it's kids that want to come and watch, you know, players that they want to look up to and try to aspire to someday, or it's, you know, the young, you know, soccer fan or just somebody that enjoys, you know, good entertainment down, especially at the soccer park, like I said, where you're part of it. You know, sometimes in sports stadiums, you're sitting so far away, at least where my seats usually are, I should say, you're sitting so far away, you feel like maybe you're not involved, you're not part of it, but at the soccer park, you're on top of it, and it's interactive, and, you know, the sport's going to continue to grow, and, you know, we've got work to do in this country in a lot of different ways, but I think we're trending in the right direction as far as the growth of the game at all levels of professional play.
How important is it to be on TV? I mean, we're not radio partners with you, but we certainly love talking soccer with you, and KMOX listeners are all in. What about the TV side of it and being on, knowing that, you know, let's say the obvious ones like an Amsterdam Tavern, they're going to throw it on Channel 11 and watch you, but that you could be on different bars and restaurants around St. Louis?
Yeah, when we started, I would have said no chance. Why do we need to be on locally? You know, the league already has a good online platform that we use through YouTube, and it looks like we'll be moving to a different one here this summer. But you can watch every game, you know, for free right now online, and, you know, full HD broadcast and play-by-play and color and good production value. But, you know, over, as the league has grown and as we've continued to grow in here as a club in St. Louis, it is important for us to be on TV. So maybe that casual sports fan turns a game on and sees, you know, a St. Louis team playing a San Antonio team, two big markets, right? You know, you got the Spurs, and then here, obviously, the Cardinals and the Blues. And you look and say, okay, well, what is this thing? You know, if there's 7,000 people at a game in San Antonio in a nice stadium, well, you know what? I need to get down to the soccer park and see what this is about. And then for our fans and supporters. So, like you said, you know, different bars and restaurants can flip a game on. And so we're proud to you know, have 10 of those away games on TV this year. And, you know, we tried to, you know, to put a good product out there. And it's a growing product for us. We know with the broadcasters, things we have to continue to improve, and we will. But to see two weekends in a row where, you know, Kirkwood Station is packed with, you know, tons of people with, you know, scarves and jerseys and, you know, the Lugans watching our games. And it's just going to continue to grow here in St. Louis. And TV is a little bit of a piece of that.
I love the Lugans. I follow them on Twitter, and I just like to hear the reaction when, and they will, when you and I talk here, they'll hear it. It'll get back to them that STLFC was on KMOX, and that's a great thing. But describe the stadium, if you would, a little bit, and kind of, I know that that facility has been through a lot with flooding. How are things looking right now, and how easy is it to get to, park, and enjoy some soccer?
Yeah, no, it's a great stadium. It's one, you know, the original soccer-specific stadium, which is the new catchphrase over the last 10 years is, you know, other places in MLS as well as, you know, in USL have built stadiums that are just for soccer. But, you know, Soccer Park is one of the original ones. We take a lot of pride in it. So, you know, easy to get to, you know, parking when it's a big, big, big crowd can be a little bit tight. But in an average crowd night, you know, we're 4,500, 4,700 or so. It's a good, you know, there's plenty of space to get to. A lot of things to do. Every type of beer that you can imagine fit into a stadium you can find.
Like that.
All kinds of food. And like I said, just the big thing is, you know, there's not a bad seat and you're on top of it and you feel like you're a part of it. And, you know, the Lugans get going, the team gets going, and the whole stadium gets going. So, we've been through a lot with the two floods, but I think the investment, the community, and obviously, as you mentioned before, Worldwide Technology, a great partner of ours. And, you know, we've been able to, you know, make some upgrades and make the stadium appropriate for a Division II, you know, professional league and, you know, keep up with all these other cities that continue to invest in soccer. And I think St. Louis invested in soccer a long time ago, and we continue to, but some of these other cities are really putting a lot into it. And, you know, we're doing our best to keep up with them. And we feel that, you know, on any night, our stadium and the atmosphere in our stadium can match up against anybody in our league.
I'm looking at your ticketing site right now. We have a minute left with Jeremy Allenbaugh, the GM of St. Louis FC. Your tickets range from $18 to $31. I mean, that's a good deal. And all these seats are tight. I mean, they're right on top of it.
Yeah, and we, you know, we'll run some specials from time to time with some, you know, some different food and beverage, just as everybody else does. Whether it's a, you know, we don't go San Antonio at Dollar Beers last night. I don't think that's going to fly in St. Louis. I think we would, I think our fans would drink the stadium dry. But, you know, there's all kinds of F&B packages that we have and other things throughout the season. And, you know, I can tell you this: everybody that comes back to a game. You know, nobody comes and win or lose. And, you know, we need to win more than we lose. We understand St. Louis is a results town, but if somebody comes and gives us a chance, they're going to see a high level product, and they're going to be entertained, and, you know, they're going to come back. So we just continue to build it, you know, piece by piece.
I love it. March 31st, 4:00. That's a great time too for a game at Toyota Stadium against Colorado Springs. It's St. Louis FC against Colorado Springs. They play in the United Soccer League. Go see him. Jeremy Allenbaugh is the general manager of STLFC. Thanks for taking the time on KMOX. This has been great. We appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Anytime, and appreciate the support.
Thank you. We thank him, and when we come back, we'll say hello to Kyle McClellan. We'll talk some Cardinal baseball with him. Sports on a Sunday morning. I'm Tom Ackerman on KMOX.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.